stuff up, but I'm just not this morning. Sometimes real life is so much better than anything you can make up. Did any of you hear the story of the man that was swallowed by a whale, and this happened just this last week? Yeah, good. Yes, I'm not alone, and I'm not crazier than normal. There was the honest to goodness. I have the man's name written down here. Rainer Schimpf was photographing ocean wildlife, and he was following, I think it was a sardine run. And as he was photographing it, do we have the picture? Can we put that picture up? That's not a joke. As he was photographing it, his wife was in the boat, and his friend, who's also into photography, was in the boat. A whale says, "Those sardines look delicious. I got a big one." Sucked that man into his mouth, and that happened just this past week, and I was like, I'm preaching on Jonah this week. Bam! Sometimes, as Mark Wilkins used to say, I believe, God just pitches one over the plate. I could not believe, I'm not preaching. Like, that's done. There was a man who was swallowed by a whale. Let us pray. I could not, there's no way in the world, like, I couldn't quite weave it in, because the whale ends up spitting him out like 3 minutes later instead of 3 days. I'm like, I can't tie it in, but I'll be darned if I'm preaching on Jonah and I don't show that picture from like 7 days ago. And just, I'm getting way off track, but can you imagine, hey, Rainer, how was your week? Anyhow, so before I go too much further down a rabbit trail, I want to know, most of you understand you have loved ones and what it's like to care about them, right? Okay, yeah. I care genuinely about my family. They are there, and they are beautiful, and they are wonderful people, and I genuinely care about them, and I mean that. There are times that we're all a little crazy, and I imagine we can get on each other's nerves, but these are special people to me, because I share a good deal of my life with them, and I know them, and God helped me to create 3 of them, and these are people that are important to me, and so it's upsetting when things would happen to them. You can understand that, right? So Zoe told me a story about a young lady recently at her school that was not kind to her. Something to the effect of tripped her and called her a name. And I heard about this, and again, this is my Zoe. This person may not know, may not care about Zoe, but this is my Zoe, and she tells me this, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry that happened. Remember to be kind to everyone. My head does this, Devin. Find this child. Reduce the student-to-teacher ratio by eliminating this child. And I thought about it, and I'm like, why does that upset me? Well, again, because I know Zoe, because Zoe is important to me. If that had happened to Sam, if that had happened to Eli, if that had happened to Jen, I'd be like, why were you at school, Jen? But anyway, but because I know Zoe, because I care very much for Zoe, I don't want anything bad to happen. I feel bad when she gets a bad grade on homework, but somebody trips and then calls her a name? Yeah. And I heard this thing on the radio again. I think God just lined this up. He's like, I'm going to help you with your sermon. Devin, you need all the help. Jeez. I hear on the radio a comedian talking about this, and he was saying that we get really bothered when people hurt the ones we love. I'm like, we do. And he said, and the thing is, I know for myself, I want to go out and get even with these people, especially when it happens to my children. I'm like, I'm right there with you, and I'm listening to this guy. And he said, but what? We can't do that. That's not right. I'm like, no, it's not. He said, because we're adults and we have to behave like adults. And I'm like, yeah, he's got a point. And he says, so what we need are like 12 and under hitmen that we can hire out. Yes! Yes! So if somebody hurts one of my children, I can't do anything about it. That would be wrong, but they need a service. But you know what this is like. Joking aside, you know what this is like. Maybe you've had a child at some point that got picked on, that got called a name, got genuinely hurt, and you just wanted to find the person that did that and get even. Maybe you've been there. Maybe when you were dating, it was that person you were dating, and somebody made fun of them, and I'll be darned If I were a gambling man, I'll bet you wanted to go and fling your fist at the person who said something. Or maybe it's your family that's really been threatened. You know what it's like when you care about someone and somebody hurts them. They don't care. They don't know them. They act out. It hurts you, right? You've been there. Just at least nod your head. Or am I talking a different language? No? Okay, a few of you. Good. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of Jonah. And I know that we think about Jonah as being about a whale and being about a prophet of God. But the story that I'm going to try and move through quickly this morning is the story of caring about someone deeply and wanting the best for them instead of wanting them to be harmed. And as we move through our series that we're calling More Love and Less Hate, I want us to think about God's perspective in this whole thing. So again, we can find issues and what we've been taught, what we see modeled around us. What we're all good at doing is finding a side and doggedly defending it to the point that we will attack, we will assault, we will be ridiculous to make sure that our side is the victorious side. And again, I don't think that's how we're intended to act, especially as Christians. And so I'd like us to take the God perspective, and that's what the story of Jonah helps us do. Maybe you've heard this story before. Maybe Jeanette did a nice job of summarizing it. Maybe you've read through Jonah. Hey, here's bonus number one, and this is free. I'm not even going to charge you. We're going to look at an entire book of the Bible in one morning. Some of you are like, why did I come to church today? But we can do this. In our time together, we're going to move through one book of the Bible. You can go home and be like, yeah, in church this morning, we covered an entire book of the Bible. Number two, and I hope you'll forgive me for this one. To do that, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I'm going to share the story of Jonah. I'm going to try not to lie to you, but I'm going to skip some of the chapters just to make it cohesive. So can we do that? I mean, it would be cohesive if I read the chapters, but efficient and cohesive. That's what we want. Is everybody okay if I do that? Good. They're like, please, if you're going through an entire book, hurry on. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh. At that time, capital of what I believe was the Assyrian army. Okay? The Assyrians, they had several capitals in the time that their army was in power. And at this time, Nineveh was the capital. A little bit of geography for those that enjoy that. They found some writings, historical writings, not biblically concerned, not religiously motivated. They found writings, like they're good at doing, finding stuff from ancient periods of history. They found writings from the Assyrian army. Bear in mind that first verse, that God has called Jonah to go and preach there. Jonah, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. Its sins have come up before me. Here's what these writings say of the Assyrian army. These are just two that I found that they say date back to what should be this time frame, but they are definitely from the Assyrian period where they were in power. And here are some of the writings. I destroyed, I demolished, I burned. I took their warriors prisoner and impaled them on stakes in front of the cities. I flayed the nobles. As many as had rebelled, I spread their skins on the piles. Many of the captives I burned in a fire. Many I took alive. From some I cut off their hands to right. From others I cut off their noses, ears, and fingers. I put out the eyes of many soldiers. Pretty uplifting stuff. That was what the Assyrian army, or at least one of the soldiers, had recorded from one of their voyages. And here's another writing, a separate one. I slew 260 fighting men. I cut off their heads and made pyramids thereof. I slew one of every two. I built a wall before the gates of the city. I flayed the chief men of the rebels and covered the wall with their skins. Some of them were enclosed alive in the bricks of the wall. Some were crucified on stakes along the wall. I caused a great multitude of them to be flayed in my presence and covered the wall with their skins also. I gathered together the heads in the form of crowns and their pierced bodies in the form of garlands. So Jonah, God says, I want you to go preach to the capital of that army. Do you understand a little more than at least when you heard the story in Sunday school why Jonah may have said no? Because sometimes we're like, Jonah wouldn't go. What? Jonah's like, I don't like filet of me. Just a sampling of what the empire was capable of, and the reason Jonah says no. And so, but Jonah ran away from the Lord, which you can't really do. Silly Jonah. But he was running away from Nineveh, and that army is what he was doing. Ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Do we have that map we can put up? Yeah, that's cool. Nineveh. Jonah goes, aha, I got a better idea. Boop, Tarshish. So in the known world, Jonah says, I'm going to head as far as is physically possible from Nineveh. Okay, so again, you hear that, no, he didn't go to Nineveh. Instead, he went to Tarshish. You're like, Nineveh, I don't know. Again, for those that are geographically inclined, pretty much the opposite ends of the known world. Jonah didn't go like, I'm going to go one city over. He's like, I'm going so far. If there is a God, and he might be the one that called me, he'll never be able to find me. Silly Jonah. So here's what happens. Jonah gets on a ship, and just as Jeanette told us, a great storm comes up. Jonah and the crew, they're like, this is ridiculous. This is a storm of epic proportions. And the people on the ship that were not believers, that were not Israelites, that were not those inclined to worship God, they're like, this is something only the gods could do. Jonah's down below, probably thinking, this is something only God could do. And they're like, we've got to throw cargo overboard or this ship's going to sink. They start tossing stuff, and the storm is so big, they're like, we're going to sink anyway. Jonah comes up, and he's like, hey, fellas, thanks for the ride. Listen, here's what's going down. I'm running away from my God. And they're like, only a God can make a storm like this. Why would a God? You're doing what? He's like, I'm running away from my God, so, and Jonah says, if you got to throw things overboard, you might as well chuck me too, and at least save yourselves. And Jonah, in his mind, because of the readings I read to you earlier, and probably other writings from the Assyrian army, I'm guessing is thinking, I would rather die in the sea than go to Nineveh. I would rather drown and be at peace with the earth around me as I die than be skinned alive and buried alive in a brick wall and all that other stuff. I'm guessing. But he says, throw me overboard. They're like, well, you know, okay. They toss Jonah overboard, and yes, along comes a whale. And as we've seen photographic evidence of from 1 week ago, whales are known to viciously attack people. Maybe not. But still, Jonah's swallowed up by a whale. 3 days, 3 nights, he's in the whale of a belly. With nothing better to do, Jonah invents the game of euchre. I might have inserted that one. But he prays. Jonah prays inside. And the prayer that he prays is really, really interesting because he prays to God the following things. God, I remember your mercy, and I know that you are good. God, continue in your mercy and spare me. Jonah has an elaborate prayer that's laid out in the second or third chapter, but that's the essence of it. God, I remember that you are great in mercy, and I know I've done wrong, so God, remember and show mercy to me. And so what happens, we don't know how it happens, we don't get the details. I like to think God took a giant God object and gagged the whale. Whale's like, bleh! And Jonah's coughed up on shore, because that's the most fun way to think about it. And I want you to imagine now, this is what we find in Jonah chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I'm reading straight from the scripture. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. I am certain Jonah thought in his head, a whale wasn't so bad. But Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city and proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed, overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. This Assyrian army in their capital city heard what Jonah preached, and everyone, everyone, from the oldest to the youngest, from the greatest to the least, from the powerful, the most powerful to the least powerful, everyone decided, we're going to repent before God. We're not going to let this happen. And when God saw, this is verse 10 of Jonah chapter 3, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Fascinating. Chapter 4. But this to Jonah seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Not because they had said, we're going to take you and we're going to make a pile and your head's going to be at the top of a pile of heads. Not because they said, Jonah, we're going to send you just barely alive back as a warning of what we're going to do, but because they repented. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, while I was still at home? This is what I tried to foretell and forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, listen to this. Now, Lord, because you've spared the Ninevites, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. He's not just angry. This guy is having a full-blown spiritual tantrum. I mean, he is so upset, not because of something that happened to him. Like, this isn't after he comes out of the whale's mouth. Like, listen, God, a whale just barfed me up on shore. These were nice clothes, and I look like trash, and do you imagine the smell? Nope, just puked up by a whale, no big deal. But dang it, God doesn't smite his enemies. That takes Jonah off. And so he says, I'm so upset, I don't even know, I could just get, kill me, God. That's his response. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went outside, try and cool down. Maybe God gave him a God timeout, you know, I don't know. But Jonah goes outside of the city, which, by the way, no one in the city has killed him as a foreigner yet. I think I'd be like, cool. This has been great so far. But he goes outside the city and makes himself a shelter, and he sits in its shade, and he waits to see what would happen to the city. Like, maybe God will change his mind. Maybe I'm going to get to witness the destruction of Nineveh. And Jonah makes himself some popcorn, and he's like, this will be good. But that's what it says, not the popcorn part. It says he waits to see what would happen to the city. And so the Lord God, because Jonah finally did what was asked of him, the Lord God provided a leafy plant, made it grow over Jonah to give shade for him and to ease his discomfort. Jonah was very happy about the plant. At dawn the next day, God sent along a worm, which chewed up the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, there was a scorching east wind, and the sun was blazing upon Jonah so much that he grew faint. So, just again to recap, Jonah says, hey, you better repent. People repent. He's like, I'm ticked. Goes and sits outside the city and says, I'm going to wait here. Maybe God will still destroy him. Beautiful plant comes, covers him. He gets to rest. Thank you very much. Plant's chopped down. Sun comes up. Wind blows. He's feeling uncomfortable, sitting outside, and nothing's happened to this city. So Jonah said, well, once again, it would be better for me to live than to die. And God says again to Jonah in verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, Jonah said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Well, now we know Jonah's also temperamental. Maybe the whale should have kept him. But don't miss this. In all the fun and all the short shrift that we've done for the story of Jonah, don't miss chapter 4, verse 10. If you're going to remember a verse, this is the one. And I want you to look at this. I want you to listen to this. I want you to stay with me. Jonah went, and he preached, and they repented. And God said, are you right to be angry about their repentance? The leaf, and the cover, and the shade, and the scorching sun, and the wind. And he says, are you right to be angry about the plant? And Jonah says, yes, I have the right. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. And God responds in the following way. Listen to this. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. God says, that's what you were concerned about, a plant that grew in a day and fell in a day. And God says, Jonah, should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals. God gives Jonah the same illustration I was giving you at the beginning. He says, Jonah, I know that you don't like these people. Jonah, I know you wanted to see my destruction on these people. Jonah, I know you grew fond of the plant because it was comfy underneath it. But I created these things. You look at the city of Nineveh, and you hear the stories about what their army does, and you watch as they devour other nations, and you worry that they're going to come for you. You hear about the evil things that they do and the way that they torture human lives before claiming them. And Jonah, you hate them. I believe God's saying, I know that. But Jonah, you can care a plant. You can care about a plant that sprang up in a day. I know these people, Jonah. Let me tell you, there's 120,000 of them. I'll bet you didn't know there were that many. There are children here. There are women here. And you know what, Jonah? I care about these people and what they're doing enough. I know they're animals too. Jonah, what right do you have to be angry because I have spared them? And just to read it again from the scripture so that you know I'm not as full of crud as you might think. God said, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Who is it that you've hardened your heart against? I know we're sitting in church. Unless you're me, you're standing in church. But I know that you're saying, I don't hate anyone. I haven't hardened my heart. I love all people. God loves all people. I love all people because I'm great. I'm like God. Let's be honest. Who's that person? Who's that group of people? Who is it that stands on the other side of the issue that your heartstring is attached to and you're adamant that you are on the right side? And if you had a moment, if you had a hitman you could contact, if you had the opportunity, nothing would delight you more than to see absolute ruin and destruction come upon them. Who are those people? Because you have them. Maybe it's somebody that hurt you a long, long time ago, and you're no longer in contact with them, but you've held on to what they did. Maybe it's somebody that every day is in your face saying, I'm on the other side of the issue that you're on, neener, neener. And what we do is we think about the ways we'd love to get even, we'd love to hurt, we'd love to destroy, we'd love to see God just ruin. And the God perspective on this is, hey, I created those people too. And by the way, they're people. And I love them. And so when you hate them and you want to hurt them and when they are hurt, that hurts me too. Don't I have the right, I believe God asks to us today, don't I have the right to be concerned for their well-being also? And in a world where we watch again, politicians just absolutely divide and fight over what side they're on. In a world where in the church, we can't find a way to come together, and so we split. But instead of just splitting, there's all kinds of antagonistic things happening, and there's words being said, and there are actions being done that are hurtful to the other side. God looks down and says, I care about you on this side. I care just as much about you on this side. In fact, you on this side, look over at them. I created them. I love them. I sent my son to die for them. And you on this side, look over at them. I created them, and I love them, and I sent my son to die for them. You think you're upset? Fine. Stand on a different side. But what you cannot do is wish for the worst and want to destroy and try to find ways to hurt the people on the other side. They are not the enemy. They are, in fact, in the same status as you. They are the children of God. Here's another interesting note that I found about the Assyrians. Are you ready for this one? The Assyrians were some of the early converts to Christianity. Now, not the first, because we read later in Scripture about the first converts, but the Assyrians were among the first of the large nations to convert to Christianity. And they actually sent missionaries out. Their once great army was overthrown, but there were still a great number of people. And when they heard the message of Jesus Christ, they believed it and accepted it, and they sent missionaries out. The Assyrians sent people out to promote the word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. If Jonah had gotten his way and God had utterly destroyed them, there would have been early missionaries that never went carrying the gospel to other nations. Who is it again you've got your heart hardened against? Does it make a difference for you to know that God loves them? If you feel that you are right and you know that God loves you, they may be feeling they're right, but I assure you, God loves them also. When you look at people on the opposite side of whatever side you're on, they are still God's people. And God cares very much for them, and it hurts him when you want to hurt them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am grateful this morning because of the incredible mercy that you show to me. I know I am not always right. I know I am far from perfect, but it's amazing to know that you care about me. So God, help us all to know that you love us and you care for each one of us. Help us to think of others in the same way. We pray for more of your grace, and we pray that we could act like your children. In Jesus' name, amen.